This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
The music playing in the background, Drew XL with Be Right, Capricorn FM. Limpopo's hottest frequency, the best of lunchtime radio, is definitely in a full swing. I go by the name of King Bash. With the Winter Stock himself, your side chick's favorite DJ. Welcome to the last hour of the show. It's a Friday, and it's the last Friday of the month of May. You know what time it is, right? It is time for me to introduce you to someone that is Limpopo's next big thing. Doing amazing and having amazing work within the music space. And if you're a Limpopo musician, all you need to do, man, if you have your music registered, send through your music so that we can put you on the spotlight. The email is music@capricornfm.co.za and chris@capricornfm.co.za. What you can do is include the hashtag Limpopo's next big thing in your subject line, and we could feature you in the next month. But for now, today is no different. I'm joined in studio by a superstar from the province. You know, a young man pushing the hip-hop movement within the province with hopes of taking his talent all the way to the top. From the streets of Seshego, Adventure Family helped me welcome in studio Andrew Teboho. But the streets know him as a Drew XL. What's good, Maji?
I'm good, how are you?
Nah, clean, man, clean. Thank you for taking your time to join us on the show, yeah?
I appreciate you guys having me over.
One time, one time. Mm-hmm. So, look, man, I have a game that I want to play with you. I normally play this game with people that I have joining me in studio.
Okay.
So, basically, we call this game This or That. I give you two options, and all you do is pick one.
Okay, cool.
As simple as that.
All right.
So, Drew, TikTok or Facebook?
TikTok.
Winter or summer?
Winter.
Being in studio or performing live?
Studio.
Single or taken?
Single.
Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Phone calls or texts?
Text always.
All right, one time, so that is out the way. That was quick, man.
Yeah.
Normally they get stuck there by the single or taken, but boy, nah, you went straight into it, right?
No.
So for someone that's hearing Drew for the very first time, right?
Yeah.
How would you describe yourself as a person?
As a person, like you said, Andrew Devil. Magum. First generation in Seshego, born and raised Polokwane. I don't even know if I can still say young, but yeah, I'm just a young man from Seshego. Obviously ambitious, and haven't gone through quite a few things. You know how Seshego is, if you know.
100%.
So yeah, that's just it. It's pure 100% Seshego.
All right,
you know. Yeah.
Now let's dive straight into the stage name. I mean, we're pretty sure where the Drew comes from.
Yeah.
Now tell me about the XL. Is it because when you walked here, you were as tall as the door? What?
Yeah.
Where does the XL come in?
Yeah. So that's a combination of many things. That's obviously off the bat. That's the first one, extra large, obviously.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to do something different. You know, I grew up listening to a lot of music. You know, we had the Lils and the Bigs and all of them.
Okay.
Yeah, so I just thought, I don't want a prefix. I had a suffix there. Not a lot of people were doing it, so I was like, okay, XL. But also wanted it to mean more than just extra large. So it switches around. You remember with Lil Wayne?
Okay.
You remember the Wheezy F?
Uh-huh.
That F was always changing.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
even
yeah.
My XL is always changing. You know? So yeah, that's...
But changing how? Because with X, so you know with Wheezy F Baby, they...
Yeah.
The F could be anything.
Yeah, that one, like with Drew XL, it could be extra anything. You know? Extra, so like the L is from Limpopo as well.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's
I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
All right, so let's speak about when you found your love for music. You know what I mean? Like that time when you knew that, you know what, I have found what I want to do for the rest of my life. And when did you start pushing music?
Okay, so when I found the love for music, that... Yeah, I would lie to you if I tell you a specific date or time, because looking back, I think it's always been there.
Okay.
You know? Yeah, I think I'm going to give you the typical answer. Everybody who's ever been there, who makes music will probably tell the same thing. Oh, my parents played music and this.
Yeah,
and that's the whole thing. For me, it's the same thing.
Okay.
But when I got to a point where I wanted to pursue this like fully, it was around between 2016 and 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But honestly, with COVID happening, that really... pushed me, like, you know, things can really go south.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And some other things that happened as well a few years later that also made me feel like, you know what, I can take this seriously and really push for it, you know, because how I started was I've been listening to music.
Okay.
You know, I started with making house music, you know, because my brother, your cousin.
Oh, okay.
English, but your sure. brother can speak.
Yes.
So he was one of the best deep house DJs when I was growing up.
All right.
You know, so he's 50 now, so you can understand when that was. Yeah, so it's a long time back. So with him making music and being the DJ that he is, there's always been that desire, but never could pursue it fully. So many reasons, you know, the family setting, you know, there's so many other things that really stood in the way of that, you know, growing up, how we grew up as well. There was always that thing, you know, you have to do like real things. Music 100%. Was not a real thing.
Go to school.
So much as I was interested in, I couldn't pursue it fully. So I did it the quote-unquote right way. So I went to school, didn't even think about that. I tried to express myself artistically in, you know, using other mediums. I did photography, I took up, you know, cinematography, all of that stuff.
Wow.
And everything just led back to the same thing, you know, music. Every time I was taking pictures, when I'm editing, I'm listening to music. Cinematography, my favorite part was like when I had the music there, you know. So until eventually I was in college, I think it's 2016, 17 there. And when I got there, I met a few people, and I was living in this place. I found out that there was a guy who produces there.
Okay.
So, you know, the other way I avoided making music, because that's basically what I was doing, avoiding, trying everything else except for music.
Wow.
Was poetry. So when I met the bro, I heard that he was producing, and I started, you know, I did a few, I took people's beats, you know, did freestyles, put them on Instagram. And I had this girl, you know, biggest crush of my life. So what happened is she, first of all, made it known that, nah, it's not going to work.
Okay.
So I knew there was no bias. So when I started putting the things online, she was one of the few people who was pushing it. It's like, yo, this guy's so good, you know. So when I saw that and people that I took seriously in terms of like what their music taste is and all that stuff, they were saying the same thing. Keep going, keep going. So around the time, like, you know what, maybe this is something I can really go for. So it wasn't, it's not that the amazing story where like I started at 3 years old. With me, it's like I avoided this thing, did what my parents told me to do, did it the right way, until eventually I realized with everything that I tried, it led me to the same thing.
It actually followed you.
Yeah,
you're trying to avoid something, but it kept on following
you.
All right, so I need to find out, you know, something from you as well. All right, I mean, you spoke about family, the dynamics around family. But how do you, how does your family feel, you know, in terms of, you know, you pursuing music?
Okay, so my family, my immediate family, very supportive, very supportive. You know, my brother is one of my biggest cheerleaders.
100%.
You know, his in-laws, everybody's just really rocking with it. Because, you know, the way I went about things, like I'm saying, I went to school, I did the right things. It's not like, yo, you're wasting your life. Why, you know, why don't you do this? Why did you try that? Because I did the whole nine yards and everything just kept leading me back to that. I think one person who, I don't know, I don't think she'll ever be comfortable with it is my mom. I don't think my mom will ever be comfortable with it.
Nah, I hear you.
You know, but when I posted, funny enough, when the confirmation for me doing this interview came, and the poster came out and I put it on my WhatsApp, she liked it. She just put a young
like
it.
Like, now there's something, now we can actually believe in, right?
You feel me?
So since you started off, you know, doing the whole house thing, what led you to hip-hop? Why choose hip-hop?
Okay, like I said, growing up in Seychelles, so the dynamic in Seychelles in terms of music, and that's just the culture there.
Yeah.
It's not too friendly to hip-hop people. And, you know, because with hip-hop, there's a culture around that. You
100%.
Know, the way they dress. And remember those big baggy pants, the pirates? I hated that. I didn't want to be a part of that. I liked the music, but I hated the lifestyle.
Okay.
You know? So that was one of the things. And the other thing was, like, growing up in my grandfather's house, this is Seychelles, this is Bramfisha, honorable. So, same street as Dakap. You know, so when I was in high school, Dakap started popping. So that was another thing, like, yo, it's working here. You feel me? And there weren't really any hip hop people from Limpopo, first of all.
Yes.
You know, so anything and everything I saw, music coming from where I come from, is house. Give DJ Fresh, give Dakap, Raider, give DJ TS. You know, give what a man.
Problem child.
Problem child. 1083. Yes. All those people, you know. So that's all I heard. That's all I saw. And I figured, and my brother as well. So I'd see him almost every weekend, going out to gigs. You know.
Yeah.
So I was like, yo, I think back then there was a place called Translux. Mm-hmm. I forget Translux working. I forgot the name of the thing. He'd go to this place. Apparently he was, you know,
the doing biggest.
Doing amazing. So I remember I wasn't there. I think DJ Ghanani came to our house. My older brother, you know, he was raving about it, like, oh, Ghanani was here. You know, I thought that. So everything was like, house is the way. Although I enjoyed, you know, listening to hip hop and all of that stuff, but what I was exposed to locally was like an image I didn't like. I didn't want to be in the park doing ciphers or, you know, all of that stuff. So that's the thing that kept me there. But I'd listen, but I wouldn't want to be, you know, part of it.
Yeah. Now let's talk about your songwriting, right? What actually inspires the lyrical content or the writing that you put out?
Real life. That's my real life. That's if you listen to most of my songs, if not all, it's inspired by real life events.
Okay.
One of the biggest influences for me or motivators is this province here, like being from here. I'm a very stubborn person, you know.
Okay.
And growing up and seeing, you know, all like Zulu music, Tonga music, even though it's Limpopo, like Venda music, it was representation for all these other tribes and groups in all these mediums that I admired. But
100%.
There wasn't really much for us. You can imagine with like TV.
Yeah.
We only got Skeem Saam, I think 2014 or 20, I don't remember the year.
Yeah.
But it's not that old, you know, but we had Muvhango at the time. We had all these other shows in other languages. Things like that just like made me feel like, yo, why is this not happening for us? So it's a combination of many things. My experiences, being able to express myself artistically.
Yeah.
Number two, having, you know, being able to say things that I can't really say to you, you know, okay, King Bash,
this is what
I can put it in music.
Uh-huh.
But the other thing is like, okay, I know there's a bunch of people who feel like this.
No, that's true.
And then it's like, you know, if somebody went out to say it, it would be amazing.
Yeah.
And with enough time went by, I figured, you know, if nobody's gonna do it, why don't I just, you know,
let
me just do it. Yeah.
Now let's speak about the challenges, man, you know, navigating the music industry. What do you think your biggest challenges are?
Biggest challenges right now, I think, you know, if you ask me this question like 5 years back, I'll probably give you a completely different answer. But right now, with the way things are now, I think we have social media, so there's reach. It is, I think, what we, or in my position, what I would need the most is like people who have access to people who make things happen.
No, that's true.
So that's the only thing. I believe in the music I make. I feel like it's good enough.
Yeah.
And if someone who likes it and has a voice or, you know, platform, I feel like it's one call away. So the challenges really are logistically, is like most of these things happen in Jozi, Pitori.
Yeah.
And if you listen to my music, like I'm saying, I'm trying to represent this side of things.
Mm-hmm.
And with every passing day, man, I'm understanding why people pack up and go that side. Because it's, you know, Limpopo is proving to be a very tried and tested market.
100%.
Like, we really tap into things when things are confirmed by other people.
Already popping as
well. Yeah, you can see even with the comp. We had this for the longest.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I remember Sana Mela takes more Pick and Pay. Limpopo Mall. We didn't care for that.
Until it was closer.
Until people from like Jozi Pitori were like, wait, what is this?
Mm.
We were like, oh, you guys like this? Like, yeah. Like, okay, cool. We have 10 more people who can do this. We have so on my side, I think It's sad to say, but I think it has to be someone from that side that people already trust and believe in, who says this guy's good. You know, so that's what I'm saying, reach and exposure on the other side. So
Chris, we gotta get Pori here. Whatever Pori says, whatever Pori says, it happens. But nonetheless, a big shout out. So yes, I'm out here with Drew XL. All you need to do, send through a voice note or a text, you know, any questions, any compliments for the brother as we play you his music. Send them through to my WhatsApp line, 079-896-226. That is 079-896-226. Limpopo's next big thing with Drew XL. So Drew, I need you to, you know, we spoke about, you know, what inspires you to write.
Yeah.
But what happens when, you know, it's time to put out a song? What do you do first? Do you need to listen to the beat? Do you need to, you know, write first and then the beat comes after, then the producer puts it together? Yeah. How does it work?
Most of the time, it happens different ways, but most of the time I find myself writing first.
Okay.
Right. The song you just played now, with these, like, you know, high energy songs, it's usually the beat that inspires the thing. So obviously you'll have something that you want to say, You know, and when the beat matches that emotion or that feeling, then you can do that. But for the most part, for the majority of the songs I've made up until this point, it's been writing first, and then you get the feel of the thing, at least for me, and then I speak to a producer, which I feel like could make that sort of sound, and then we go on that way, and you find pockets where, you know, I can get my lyrics there fit, and then he also comes with this technical side of things, and then I have to adjust what I say and all of that stuff. So usually it's mostly about what I have to say.
Alright, now as we all know, a lot of hip hop artists have left the genre, are still leaving the genre, joining the other side within the province, which is Lekompo. I mean, they're still doing the same thing, they're rapping, but just, you know, under different circumstances. But now, is this something maybe that you would consider?
I listened to Justin Bieber growing up, never say never. but the chat is, for me, I went to college in Lephalale. You forgive me, I explained. I went to Lephalale. There was a guy called Borot. He introduced me to this artist called Mokapteni.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, back
I
then.
I know Mokapteni.
Yes. So I was listening to Mokapteni. This is 2015, 16, right? Yeah. And he was doing amazing, but he has similar styles, Sabo, Malibu, and all of them.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
very
yeah.
traditional, very regional sound, very, you know? Yeah, so I listened to that and I was happy there's someone, because I think Mokapteni did a song with Casper at the time. I was like, yo, this is huge. That song, I never heard it on radio, I never saw it on television, I didn't hear much about it. And I thought maybe it's like Sepedi, that's the problem. And you know, with time I realized it's like, at least for me, there's people rapping Sepedi, but they're doing it in a very traditional way. You know, and me coming from Seshego, you know, it's very different. We don't even speak like that. You know, so On my side, I figured, you know what, there needs to be a balance between how we speak, you know, and the cool, you know how the show is. So those things. So that was my thing. Like, I want someone to do this, and I'll follow, you know, to the ends of
Earth.
Until eventually, let me feel like, you know, I just have to do that. I have to be that. So when it comes to Lekompo, growing up in Seshego, again, on my side, and I'm seeing it evolve now with people like Pubi and all of them, they're cleaning it up, you know. But the word Lekompo, you know, was a derogatory term.
100%,
you know, yeah. 10 years back, you know, now everyone is fighting to
be embracing it. I want to be part of it.
So in terms of culture, I believe authenticity is important. You can always tell when someone's performing or just doing it because this is what's working.
That's
now.
That's where the bag is.
Yeah, so it's tricky for me to maneuver that. I can't say, no, I'll never do that.
Yeah.
You know, I have some of the people I work with are Lekompo artists, so... Yeah. Sometimes, you know, get in a song just for fun or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like I said, I think yesterday, I was at the Barak store. They had a thing there. It was mostly Lekompo. And my thing, I spoke to a lot of people there. I told them the same thing. Like, I feel like the only time I'd get on that side is when there's already an established identity of me as a rapper.
I hear you.
You know, you see how like those guys that side, I think 25K did a song called Tamati or something.
Okay.
It's a Bacardi song. So there's no confusion there. There's no one saying 25K is a Bacardi. You know, they know he's established himself as a rapper first, and then he can jump on that side.
Just
it's interesting. I'm behind Lekompo all the way. I mess with it heavily.
Yeah.
But I just feel like at this stage, if I get on that side and the song works, then I have to perform this act.
Yeah,
I have to
now have to.
I've never worn it like a dry fit my whole life. Now I have to wear one. I have to, you know, like,
Or maybe you can bring your own style. You never know.
I get you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it happens.
The culture, that's what I'm saying. The culture, Lekompo.
Yeah.
It's such that which you have to.
No, it's solid.
Yeah.
It's put there.
I feel like I would drown in that space.
I hear you.
You know, trying to be this the whole time. And like,
it's good to know yourself, man. Yeah. It's really, really good to know yourself. But now, do you think, I mean, I'm a hip-hop DJ, right?
Yeah.
And I feel like it's really tough within the space now in terms of the events that people have, because one hip-hop DJ for the night is enough.
Yeah.
But do you think hip-hop still stands a chance?
Huge. It still stands a chance.
Okay.
There's different ways of approaching it. You know, there's music, there's hip-hop music you can listen to by yourself in the house and home. I think now with South Africa being the way that it is, there's a huge, huge, huge influence on groove culture.
Okay.
You know, this genre is like jazz, you know. It's not every weekend you see a jazz there's festivals, there's but those people are living comfortably.
100%.
Because there's a huge market that, you know, is tapped into that. You feel me? With groove culture, like I said, we grew up on dance music. South Africa is a very dance music heavy, you know, country. So it'll always be house music. It'll always be Likomba. It'll always be Komba. It'll always be all those sounds. But there's someone who wants to go out and rap along.
That's true.
A Saturday.
That's true.
So it's tricky, but in that context of like if you're playing at a club or whatever, I think it's tricky now. It's you know, it's gone back to what it was before 2014-15.
Mm-hmm.
But I still feel like it can work. It can work if people curate the right, you know, spaces and environments.
Yeah.
And yeah, it can work.
Nah, most definitely, man.
Yeah.
So it's 2026. You dropped a 12-track album, right? Ride the Risk.
Ride the Risk, yes.
So tell us about this project, man. What inspired this project?
Okay. What inspired Ride the Risk? I'll go back to what I said earlier about what inspires me to write, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of it comes from finding a medium for me to say what I can't say.
Yeah, yeah.
What I can't say to my mom, what I can't say to this person. So yeah, so I do it in music. So it's a bunch of things that I've wanted to say, you know, even with the title itself, Ride the Risk, meaning like taking risks.
Mm.
I've struggled with that. Like I said, always knew I wanted to make music for a long time, but I didn't because, you know, it's risky. I had to do what they told me to do the right thing, go to school, da da da. So at this point in my life, I feel like I can take risks. So that was me speaking on the transition I feel like I've made in the past few years, coming from someone who absolutely would not want to take risks into someone who's not living a risky life, but like open to that, understanding that if you don't take risks, you know, nothing good will ever come out of it. So Ride the Risk speaks on that. From the first song, I can't risk it, with this, you know, ironic, but it's that, like how I used to look at life and feel like I can't take this risk. Everything has to be, you know, guaranteed to be successful.
Uh-huh.
So that's me speaking on the transition happening on the first song. Second one, Dear God, which just speaks on, you know, pleading and asking for, you know, the strength to just do all these things that were that still are risky, but felt that I couldn't do them in the past. And 4K going on with other songs is like, this is the vision I see in my head, and like, this is, if things work out, this is what I imagine.
Wow.
You know, and this is something that there's a lot of people who have really big dreams, but you can't really say, because the moment I tell you, yo, I want to buy a yacht, it's like, oh, come on.
So,
you know, so but like 4K, exactly. So with 4K, I'm basically telling you, like, I see this thing, like in 4K, it can happen, I see it.
Oh, wow.
You know, so that's the whole thing behind it, like the transition from not believing in myself, not dreaming big enough, and then going on to the end of the project where the Nelson Magamo portrait outro. So that speaks on, because I'm a huge fan of his, and speaking of like, if it works out, it can be as beautiful as a Nelson Magamo portrait, you feel me? And in that sense, it helps that he's also from Limpopo, which is what, like I told you. So,
I see the story.
Yeah, so very, very inspirational for him to see him on these spaces with the Black Coffees and the Jay-Z's, and being from Modimolle, you feel me? It's like, if he can did it, why can't you do it?
You feel me? So who did you work with, man, on this project?
Okay, on Ride the Risk, I worked with my brother, Komojo Mpengwa.
Okay.
He goes by only one Nigma, but he switched and now he goes by Mpia Game.
Right.
Yeah, he's been all switching. Right. I have to say all of them, just in case somebody knows him as only one Nigma. So he's the one who mixed, mastered, did everything.
Mm.
The only two songs he didn't produce, or three songs, Nete, which was produced by Kabila 101.
Okay.
He's also on the song. The other song he didn't produce was produced by T.T. Cody.
Okay.
He also produced Captain PLK.
All right.
Yeah. On this song, Mitomo One.
Okay.
Yeah. I worked with Isaac 015.
All right.
Yeah, he's from Bochum as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so on the other song, it's Theo Henchman on Be Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's also from Limpopo. And the lady that you hear singing in that song is Freckled.
Freckled, okay.
Yeah. Freckled is... Right now, she's from Limpopo.
Okay.
She's been moving around, you know, 2 years here, 5 years there, you can't really say. But the lady that sings majority of the other songs, like Blessed, For What It's Worth, and all of that stuff, is Leelo. Mm. She goes by NAL.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's also from Limpopo. You know, all right. So, yeah, that's
nice. Limpopo based.
Yeah, it's very, very Limpopo, my brother. Nah, very, very, very.
Let
Limpopo.
Me take a few voice notes here and hear what the people have to say.
Drew Extra Large. Drew XL, what it do, my guy? What it do? Yeah, this is your boy, man, Clarence Tata, live from Venda, Pando. Represent, you can be represent. I'm super proud of your music, man. It reflects us as Limpopians. By Limpopians, you know, and that's one thing that we need to take pride on, you know. But the question that I have on you is, what's the most difficult thing that's standing in front of you in terms of being booked across the board in Limpopo, you know? Because I'm thinking, you've been doing music for so long. And you studied it. You're the connoisseur of the music that you do. And I've never seen you in Twando, for instance. I've never seen you in Chikambe, Reggie Lifestyle. I've never seen you in Chiramba, you know. And I want to see you, bro. I want to see you and experience your thingy, your ambience as a musician. What has been the stumbling blocks with regards to that, and how best can we ensure that you get bookings this side of Limpopo? Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Speak
to your promoters, man.
Shout out to the brother one time. Stumbling block, you see, like I said, it's about access. If people who make things happen from that side hit me up, I'm all for it, you know. On my previous project, I worked with Muskuli.
Okay.
You know, she's Tsonga. Very amazing. Amazing.
So, Muskuli's my girl, man.
Dope. Amazing. So I'm mentioning her because I wanted to be clear. Like, I know I speak a lot about Polokwane and Sio, Sepedi, but like, I'm very... very much Limpopo, my bro. So, if people that side hit me up and say, yo, pull through, I'll be there.
100%.
Very, very quick. Very quick.
Now, let's take another one here. Let's hear.
Hey, big shout out to Captain Polokwane, Drew XL, all the way from Lephala, Le Ketlak Dora. Away, away, away.
All right.
Big shout out to Tebogo Magombo, Captain Polokwane, all the way from Lephala, Le Flora Magati.
We love you, Captain Polokwane.
Po.
Shut up. I can recognize his voice.
I was about to say that sounds like family.
That's
man.
Family, my brother. That's Ket Moradli. That's the when you listen to 4K.
Yeah,
he's the one who's speaking on the outro. That's one of the brothers that pushed me when I felt like, nah, this thing, you know. He's like, he'd hit me up randomly, you know, almost angel like. It hit me like randomly when I'm, I don't know, down or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, actually, you remember that 20 mom when you said it, you know. Yeah, we shared a room in college, and
that's so dope.
That's my brother. Yeah,
that's so dope. But like, if I were to give you a blank check, right, of top 5 people that you'd love to work with, do you have that list?
It's long. It's not 5.
Just give me 5.
5.
Yeah.
Is there a border or is it South Africa?
Nah. We dream big, right?
We dream big. Okay.
So exactly. Wherever you did say that, things can happen. A guy from Mudimule was found standing there next to Bujay Z. So you need to understand that your mind needs to take you there. So just give me 5.
All right. I'll say this. I dream big.
Yeah.
However, I won't mention the obvious. And it's obviously those guys from that side.
Yeah.
So I'll keep it here. I'll keep it South African. You know, I would love to work with Kujenga.
Okay.
I'm a huge jazz fan.
Okay.
I'd like to work with Kujenga. I would like to work with Tato Soul.
Oh.
Amazing.
Tato Soul is amazing.
Yeah. I would want to work, I'd love to work with Shekinah.
Oh.
Incredible.
Right.
I'd also, that's 3. Né?
Yeah.
I'd love to work with who else is there? Pounds,
mm-hmm.
You know, Latinova.
Yeah, Latinova.
I feel like he's incredible too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd also love to work with. Hey, these top 5s are tricky. I'm on the last one.
You're the last one. Okay. Can I check?
Can I mention Dead or Alive? Like,
Yeah.
So the living, okay. Yeah. Let's keep it with the living. I'll just keep it.
Maybe you'd want to take something from their work or what, yeah. But let's keep it with the living.
Okay. I'll say Pori.
Ah, we did say, man. Yeah, Pori makes things happen. He makes things happen. You need Pori in your corner. Before I let you go, my brother, where do you see Drew XL in the next 5 years?
In the next 5 years?
Yeah.
God willing. Amongst the very respectable names in South African hip hop history,
yeah.
Most importantly, I see myself in 5 years as one of the not pioneers, but the people who stuck it out. With, like you said earlier, when things go the other side, people who stayed down,
100%.
So that's my wish.
Where can people find you, man? Connect with you on the socials. And if you have any shout-outs, let's give those people those shout-outs.
Okay. People can find me on Instagram. It's Drew, X large, no space, no underscore,
mm-hmm.
on X. It's at Drew X large.
Okay.
On TikTok, it's the same, at Drew X large, no space, no underscore. Facebook's Drew XL. That's where they can find me. Shout-outs. I want to send a huge shout out to my brother Pablo Tretao.
Okay.
That's one of the brews that was really pushing for some time. And he's also on the project as well. Huge shout out to my brother Malcolm. He worked with me on this, my first project. I've already mentioned Gabila, One of One, WOC, the Brothers Decide, Ras Flow, all of the brothers that are pushing, the Boys Divine, you know. Like the list is endless. All the brothers from this side who are doing it. Yo, Isaac 15, Kid Majesty, all of those people are doing it that side for this side. And obviously, huge shout out. If she's listening, I hope she is.
Yeah.
My mom.
I was about to say, man. To say, mommy, I made it. Just a bit of patience, and you'll bring it back home. You know what I mean?
And my brother as well. You know, huge shout out to my brother and his wife and his kids and all of that stuff. And everybody, the family,
Nah, big shout out to you, my brother. One time, thank you so much for coming through, joining us in the studio.
Appreciate
all the best in your future endeavors. We'll see you at the top in the next 5 years. And before that, when you're still dropping projects, come through so that we can, you know, have this chat and just pick up where we left off.
100%. This is home now.
All right, I'm gonna drop you another one of his offerings. It is a 4K, everything that he sees in 4K. So do send through your voice notes and your text, letting me know what you think of the song as we wrap up the show. 0798996226, 0798996226. He goes by the name of Drew XL.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.